It's long been thought that dogs have a sixth sense about people, like they're able to detect the good ones from the bad. Well, recent data tells us that may not be true. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back after this to sniff out the truth.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
It turns out dogs aren't the judge of human character we thought they were. In a recent study, researchers had 40 of them watch two strangers interact with another dog, one being kind, soft-spoken, and generous with treats, while the other was mean, stingy, and spoke in a harsh tone. In all cases, when the 40 observing dogs later met the two people, they showed no statistical preference for the nice human over the mean one. They're not picky when it comes to people, and their non-judgmental nature is one of the things we love about them. They'll wag their tails for anyone. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartMail.com, the private email alternative to Gmail, Yahoo, and Apple Mail.
This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them as they march into the palaces of the high and mighty. I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger, and they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Good afternoon, Catherine Albrecht here. This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show, and as always, we've got a great show prepared for you for today. I am excited to welcome back to the program Pastor Anthony Farrell of Crossroads Community Church right here in Michigan. And he joins me today to get, I think, really down to the nitty-gritty, the elephant in the room regarding Christianity. And that is this question, that this claim, this extraordinary, audacious claim made by Jesus Christ when he walked on the earth and said, "I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me." That is a very exclusive claim. It goes against a lot of what we hear about in modern American society. You got to be open-minded. You got to, everybody let live and let live. Everybody's got their own way. The question that I want to address today with Pastor Anthony is this question, whether Jesus was speaking the truth and whether these other ways to arrive at God that other cultures and civilizations throughout history have chosen are the wrong way. All right. Well, with no further ado, let me welcome Pastor Anthony Farrell. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be back, Catherine. Thanks for having me on.
It's super to have you back. And, we've been talking about Israel. I have been, and maybe I'm guilty of this, of making the assumption on this program that people are, of like mind. And I think before I make that assumption that the listeners to this program are of like mind, I think that I need to address this issue that I think is a big reason a lot of people say Christianity, you know, they're really, you know, they're like an exclusive club. They don't they don't welcome all the viewpoints. And I think until we get that one piece resolved, the rest of our discussions about faith and about the Bible and prophecy and end times and all of these things may be less well received as just the truth until we resolve what the truth is. So you and I have talked about this. I know you've got a wonderful exposition prepared to explain this. And before we do it, I want to go ahead and play a clip. Now, this is from the Oprah Winfrey Show. She, it's about 2.5-3 minutes long. And in this clip, Oprah is speaking to her television audience and, of course, her studio audience. And she is addressing this this sort of modern debate. Is Jesus the only way, or are there lots of ways to God? So with no further ado, I'm going to have JD go ahead and play the clip. Here we go.
The panel has been discussing the spirituality and the forces of God, but I also believe that there are two forces that are here with us, that we do have our God that we can depend on, but there's also a power of darkness that we do need to be aware of. And that's where the choice is.
Do you believe that you can choose between one or the other?
Most absolute definitely.
Yeah. Now Marianne Williamson says in her book Return to Love that we're always walking in the direction of one or the other, that all of your actions in life, either you're moving toward the darkness or you're moving toward the light.
That's right.
She calls it fear and love. There's this wonderful book called Ishmael by Daniel Quinn, which is it's a gorilla talking, but anyway, it talks about one of the points it brings out is one of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be
then
a human
how do
being
you please
and,
God?
And many ways no but many paths
many ways.
To what you call God
that
and
is
her
pleasing.
Path might be something else, and when she gets there she might call it the light, but her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
And I guess the danger that could be on that, I mean, it sounds great on the onset, but if you really look at both sides, I
there could couldn't possibly be just one way. What about Jesus? What about Jesus?
You can't even raise him up in this whole discussion, and you say there isn't only one way.
There is one way and only one way, and
there
that is through Jesus.
There couldn't possibly be with
because
a million
you
of people
say
in the
there
world.
Isn't.
There couldn't possibly be.
Because you say, you intellectualize it and say there isn't. If
no.
you don't believe that, you're all buying into the lie.
But that makes you right.
Do you think if you are somewhere on the planet, if you're somewhere on the planet and you never hear the name of Jesus, you never hear the name of Jesus, but yet you live with a loving heart, you lived as Jesus would have had you to live, you lived for the same purpose that Jesus came to the planet to teach us all, but you are in some remote part of the earth and you never heard the name of Jesus, you cannot get to heaven, you think?
And that is covered in the scriptures too. People
heart,
are talked about
truly,
that.
God knows the heart.
Does God care about your heart, or God care about if you call his son Jesus?
Well, you know, Oprah, God, Jesus cannot come back until that gospel is preached in the four corners of this earth. So, you know, figure it out.
Okay. Okay, I can't get into a religious argument with you.
It's not religion, Oprah.
I can't get into a religious argument with you. John.
Okay. So there we go. That was Oprah Winfrey a number of years back having a conversation that reflects the sort of modern American, I would say, secular viewpoint that Christianity is not a special way. All right, Pastor Anthony, let me let you go because I know you have a lot to say in response to this. I guess the key question is it possible to get into heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ?
Well, the answer unequivocally is no, from a biblical perspective, if you take the scripture as your standard and authority, but the scripture's witness to what Jesus himself, the one who is highly revered and respected by most people, it is this person who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. In fact, he said that on the night before he was crucified. So this was a big claim But that big claim was going to be backed up by a big action. He was going to die on the cross. He was going to suffer the most humiliating death. Then he was going to be buried and then resurrected. And so then ascend to the Father. So the claim is built upon the very unique salvation that he and he alone offers. If there were other paths, other ways to salvation or other ways to God, then the death of Jesus Christ and the torture and the humiliation was the greatest waste and barbarism and tragedy within history. If indeed we can find God through another pathway or means, then to have Jesus go through all of that, when we, you know, making that the only door, when in fact there's hundreds of other doors we could walk through, would be senseless. And this would certainly be the case that Jesus would not be a person worthy to follow because he did something senseless. But of course, we know that's not the case. He is the one who died for our sins. He claimed he was the only way. He further made the claim when he said that in John chapter 14, that no one comes to the Father except through me, John 14:6, John 14:9. He says, if anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, in John 14:10, he says, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And then he said, John 14:12, I'm going to the Father. So he was so connected in tune. He was God in the flesh. And fundamentally, the reason why he is the only way to salvation is because he's the only solution to the human problem, and that is sin. And if sin is our problem, guilt and shame are transgressions, are evil, are wickedness that is within us, that is carried out as human beings, if that is our problem, it is a problem that we have at a societal level, it's a problem we have at a relational level, it's a problem we have at a personal level. And Jesus is the only solution for that. We'll talk more about that.
All right, so when we come back, first of all, let me open up the phone lines because I'm sure we're going to have questions. Phone lines and the text line is 877-536-1360. Feel free to text over with your questions for Pastor Anthony or call in and join the conversation. All right, we'll be right back talking more about this critical question. Stay tuned.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system, so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
Back. All right, that song is from Ecclesiastes 3. I'll go to one place. The artist who sings that is called Verses. And also John, let's see, let me get it here because this is new. John Pedersen and Casey Pedersen. I will post a link to that in my in the archives of today's program. We're playing brand new scripture music, but that is directly from scripture, Ecclesiastes 3. All right, let's return to our conversation. I'm kind of in the edge of my seat here. Pastor Anthony, you were explaining to us the rather audacious claim that Jesus Christ made that no other way will suffice, that he is the only way to get to heaven. And of course, a lot of people say, like Oprah just did, well, that's not fair. That's not right. Let's address that. So let me let you continue. So first of all, he would not have died for our sins if that were not true. He very clearly stated that. So I think as C.S. Lewis said, he was either a madman or a liar, or he was telling the truth. And nothing else, certainly in anything he did, made him out to be a madman or a liar. He was telling the truth. But how can it be then, Pastor Anthony, that there is one way to God? How can that actually be true?
Well, there's one way to God because there's one problem that needs to be overcome, and that is our sin. And so if sin is our problem, what Jesus did on the cross offers a very unique solution. So, you know, one way I put this is that, you know, in order to fix if you've got a problem, you've got to bring the appropriate solution to that. So with my car, if I've got an oil leak, I don't want to increase the air pressure in my tires. If I've got a tumor, I don't want to take an aspirin. If I've got a problem with, my finances, then I don't want to, you know, get a credit card. If my water pipes are leaking, you call a plumber, not an oncologist. And so you need the proper solution to the proper problem, and that is Jesus Christ. And since sin is our problem, that is what he addresses, and it is only him. There is no other religion, there's no other belief or philosophy that addresses the problem of sin and guilt in the way that Jesus Christ does. And so his claim is again matched by his audacious, his insurpassable, his incomprehensible act of dying for the sins of humanity, burying them, and then resurrecting. Now that has lots of implications. I think one of the ways that people are really struggling is that they think, but that is so intolerant. That is so narrow-minded. That is so bigoted to make the claim that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. And that's where the rub is for a lot of people. But if you really think about this and what Jesus did and who he is, the reality is just the opposite. Far from being bigoted, it is the most gracious, open, loving servant, shall I say tolerant, a way that has ever been opened up into humanity, because embedded in the pronouncement that Jesus Christ is the only way is the claim that every single one of us can have acceptance with God no matter who we are, what we've done, or where we've come from. That is what this claim means, that because Jesus is the only way, what that means is that if there is 1,000 steps to get to God, Jesus has already taken 999 of them. You only need to take one, and that is to turn your life to him. And so there's no obstacle. There's nothing that should hinder you, because he is not unwilling to accept you. Race is not an issue. Your social status has no importance. Your ability is irrelevant. You can be a little child. You can be somebody that's mentally struggling. The only requirement is that you have faith. Furthermore, no matter how sinful your past or how unworthy you are in the present, the offer is given to each of us freely. We just need to receive it. And because that is the truth, that has led Christians who have followed Jesus to be people of mercy and compassion and love to all people, because that is the claim that Jesus, everybody is of such value and such worth that Jesus died for them. And that means that we as Christians view everybody as having inherent dignity, worth, and value, that Jesus Christ is opening his hands and is offering the way of salvation freely to anyone who wants to receive it. And that is the most gracious, loving, tolerant claim, merciful, that is made within the human race upon the planet Earth.
You know, it's interesting because you just flipped the whole dialogue upside down, and it is correct. I think the view that Oprah and others who don't see that are trying to make is that, you know, it's so intolerant. You're going to send people to hell. You're going to not let people into heaven because they don't know Jesus Christ. But that is not, that's the message you have from the outside before you actually sit with him, know him, develop a relationship with him, and see that he wants that no one should perish. God, you know, the Trinity, we've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God, Jesus Christ, wants that no one should perish. And so this is, you know, if I stand at the door and knock, if anyone opens the door, then he will be there. He will join you. He will welcome you in. So far from being exclusive and punitive and negative, that unless you do it my way, then it is just really the absolute opposite as you just described. It is a graciousness. It is an acceptance. It is, doesn't matter, rich, poor, whether you don't need someone, you know, you don't need a religious leader to approve you to be able to come before yeah. Jesus Christ and receive that salvation. So it's a beautiful thing. All right. The phone lines are open. I just want to get some feedback from people and just hear from our listeners as to, you know, how they view that claim. 877-536-1360. You can call in. You can email in. If you do, send a text through email from your phone or your computer. Please, you know, if you would be kind enough to leave your name or your initials and your location, it would at least help me to credit you on the air for your comment or question. We're visiting with Pastor Anthony Farrell of Crossroads Community Church, and we're talking about whether Jesus is the only way. Now, Pastor Anthony, I want to ask you, what Oprah brought up, if someone has not heard the name of Jesus, then how in the world are they going to be able to believe in him in order to receive the salvation? And that brings me to the next piece, which you have been researching, we've been talking about off the air over the last couple weeks, which is the extraordinary lengths that God has gone to across the earth, across the years, the millennia, to make sure that everyone on this planet hears the good news and is able to accept Jesus Christ. So can you talk about that?
Yeah, that's another great question. And of course, that question's been asked for many, many centuries. But one of the things that we know is that God has a wideness of mercy. In fact, that is what he describes, that, you know, he has the parable where he invites a particular group of people to a table and they reject, and then he extends it out. He goes into the kingdom or goes into the city, and I'm paraphrasing, and he compels them to come in. And so within that, we understand that God has given evidence of himself through nature, through conscience, and even supernaturally. Historically, there is within in cultures, God has left evidence of the knowledge of himself so that missionaries have went into other cultures and they've been embedded with basic beliefs about the true God, or about, you know, some forecast or sneak previews of the gospel. And in some ways they were able to understand, and when the message of Christianity came, of Jesus Christ, they understood what God had been preparing them for. And so God also says in Scripture that he will judge people according to the knowledge that they have. Some people are given an imperfect knowledge. They don't maybe have a Bible, but they have a lot of resources or revelation given to them through so many sources that it's quite astounding that they are without excuse, according to what Paul says in the book of Romans. But that is God's graciousness. Now, his desire is that God doesn't want people to have just a little bit of knowledge just to get them by. He wants the entire world to know the fullness of what has been given through Jesus Christ and what is offered. And so for that reason, the Bible has been translated into thousands upon thousands of languages, and missionaries have done that because this is so vital that people, that cultures, that every tribe, nation, and tongue can understand this.
All right, and I want to talk about that when we come back, just the supernatural way in which God has preserved his word and spread the knowledge of Jesus Christ across the globe. All right, my guest is Pastor Anthony Farrell. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com. Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust.
Are you interested?
Don't gotta worry about a thing. Don't gotta worry about a thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable. On what is right and pure and lovely and admirable. Put into practice all you've learned, and the God of peace will be with you. Then you don't gotta worry about a thing.
Hey, I'm back. Beautiful. That is an artist named Rianne, and it's spelled R-I-A-N, all one word, Rianne. And that comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 12. And she set it to music. I'm a big fan of scripture set to music. It sticks in your head, it's catchy, and you're repeating the Lord's word inside your head. All right, Pastor Anthony, we were talking before the break about the claims Jesus Christ made to be the one and only way, and we were talking about God's extraordinary provision to make sure that that message reaches the ends of the earth, and as I think it was said on the Oprah clip, it will reach the ends of the earth, and then the end will come, or Jesus won't be able to return until then. And Christians refer to that as the Great Commission. Can you explain to us what the Great Commission is and where it comes from and what it tells us to do?
Well, because this message is so vital that Jesus has given to us, provided for us through the gospel, the central purpose or mission statement, let's say the marching orders for us as the church, is to go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded. And so this is the means, this is the way, the gospel, that people experience the transforming grace of Jesus Christ. And this is going to be, this is the glue that brings cultural change, that brings liberation to people, to families, to communities in a really huge way. And so because Christianity has spread throughout much of the world, it has brought incredible blessings, incredible benefits, incredible healing to people, communities, families, and society. So it doesn't only prepare you for heaven. Jesus wasn't just trying to get us into heaven, but he was trying to get heaven into us. And so he came to give us eternal life. And that's a quality of life that we can have right now.
So,
and
this,
so we have the privilege of sharing that to the world.
Right. And this leads me to the topic of actually one of your upcoming classes that you'll be offering this upcoming semester through fieldtraining.org, the Field USA training programs that I have taken and really very much enjoyed and want the listeners to be aware of. You have, you will be teaching a class starting, do you know the date? September, I don't know. It's
September 9th.
September 9th. All right. So there's a new class beginning, and it's called The Church on Mission. And when I first looked at that, I'll be honest, the first thing I thought was, well, that's for the church. And then it dawned on me, well, that is, like, I'm part of the church. Every believer in Jesus Christ is literally the church, that the definition of the church is Christ's body here on earth. That doesn't necessarily mean that you are a pastor or you're at the top of some kind of, you know, ecclesiastical structure. It means all of us are the church. And then on mission, when I thought about the phrase the church on mission, I thought, well, on mission, that means, you know, the people who are packing up and living in, you know, missionaries in Africa and traveling to foreign countries and raising their children in different circumstances to be missionaries. But then it occurred to me that the mission actually of the church, meaning the marching orders for each one of us, is that great commission to make disciples, to share the good news of Jesus Christ and make disciples. So if I look at your upcoming class, The Church on Mission, does that, is that not a class that every single one of us would be relevant to, all of us?
Absolutely. You know, just as Jesus has made his relationship with him, forgiveness with him, accessible, what is truly exciting is that he uses us to make that message accessible to others. And it's not complicated. It's not, it's not something that you've got to be highly schooled or to be a scholar or to be ordained in to share the love of Jesus. You need to have a story of how Jesus has changed your life, and you need to be able to share that story with others. And in that, people can hear about Jesus. I often say, you know, the second most important story you could tell is your own story of how God transformed your life. The first, the most important story is the story of Jesus Christ and his story and of how he has brought transformation to the world, you know, through his death, burial, and resurrection. But we have the privilege of sharing that story with those around us. And so Field USA and what I do is really equipping everyday believers and followers of Jesus to equip other, to share other with other people how to follow Jesus or what it's like to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because that's how this message really spreads. It's person to person. It's disciple to disciple.
Now, let me ask you about this part that Jesus cannot return until his word has reached all the people. Where is that in Scripture, and what Who spoke those words? What is it telling us? And what does it mean for the period in time that we're living in, which many people are starting to feel in their gut? We are living in the end times. So where do we stand in terms of spreading the gospel?
Yeah, that's in Matthew 24. Jesus said before he returns that the message of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all of the nations. So we know that's going to happen before Jesus sets foot on this earth, especially there in Jerusalem. And so that is the precondition of his physical return to the earth. And that's not going to be done by just a few highly trained, ordained, you know, super spiritual people. God is not looking for the ordained, he's looking for the ordinary. And the fact is that most people come to Christ, most people are influenced to follow Jesus Christ, and the biggest influence is by people that we are currently in a trust relationship with. It's not the pastor, though they have an important role, and I'm one of those, of equipping, but I'm not the biggest influence in most people's lives. It's going to be moms and dads. It's going to be coworkers. It's going to be friends. It's going to be neighbors. It's going to be fellow colleagues or, you know, fellow teammates on a ball team. And it's through those connections that we share Jesus, that we model Jesus. And this class is about how we live on mission as everyday disciples. And that's really exciting. I just talked to a woman today, and she is going to baptize her six-year-old niece. And in the baptism, there's going to be several people from the community. She's going to baptize her niece in a canal. And in this canal, which is in the neighborhood where her niece lives, they want her to share a message about God. And you're going to have people all around with probably smoking weed, beer cans, it's open, you know, drinking beer, everything else. But it's opened up to the neighborhood. And I was praying with this woman who says, you know, Pastor, equip me, show me how to give the message, because I'm probably going to have several dozen people there who really need to hear about Jesus. And when they see me baptize my six-year-old niece, that's going to have a big impact. And that's the way that the early church spread the faith. It was just home to home. It was person to person. In fact, the majority of miracles that you read in the book of Acts, they occurred in the marketplace, not in the synagogue. And so that's what is needed in the world today for this tremendous message to spread. And I tell you what, the greatest thing for me to experience from coming to Jesus Christ and knowing him in my own life is to see others come to know Jesus. But even what excites me more is when I help others to reach others to know Jesus. That's where it really gets exciting. In fact, I talked to another person today. This person's different, who is discipling people within his community and teaching others to disciple. And it's incredible, and that's what God wants to do. When we commit to making disciples, we will have the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. But we need some equipping. We need to know some tools. We need some biblical understanding. We just don't go out and just do it by osmosis, but we certainly need to be trained. And so this class is designed to do that because this message is so important.
All right, so you can find these classes at fieldtraining.org. I know we had a number of listeners sign up last, semester, the last set of courses that was offered. If you missed out on that opportunity, these courses are only, it's like $100 a piece? Is that still correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's it's $100. Great. And I just finished Pastor Anthony's leadership course, which, by the way, Pastor Anthony, thank you for that. I learned so much. It was fantastic. And every Monday evening, I logged on to Zoom, and we had a Zoom class with all of the other students from around the country. And Pastor Anthony guided us through the lesson. We had some reading from a really wonderful book, and I learned so much. So I can't wait to hear more about the Church on Mission class, which is available at fieldtraining.org. Click on Academics, scroll down, and you'll see Church on Mission. That's the course he'll be teaching live. All right, stay tuned.
Okay, I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
Okay, well, you wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to americasfreedomnetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's americasfreedomnetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's americasfreedomnetwork.com.
Sweeter than honey from the comb. Are your words there finer than gold? The rarest treasure of my life. Only your word could make my spirit shine. So may the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Every movement of my mouth be pleasing before your sight. Keep me from secret sin, keep me from selfishness. May the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my God. You take what's simple.
That's beautiful. That's another song by Rhiannon. And that comes straight from Scripture. May the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, Lord. All right, Pastor Anthony, so we're talking about the fieldtraining.org, Field USA training course that you're teaching called The Church on Mission, which is really designed for all of us because we all have a mission. That's the Great Commission, to spread the gospel. And before... hang on. In a previous segment, we talked about the gospel of the kingdom being proclaimed throughout the world. I'm just going to read that and talk about why I think it's more important now than ever. So this is from Matthew 24 and verse, I'm just going to read the verses leading up to it. This is verses 10 through 14. So it says, "And many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." Now, this is especially relevant right now because I know people have a hunger to understand what the Bible has to say about the end times, about the return of Jesus Christ, the end. How is this whole thing going to end? And it says right here, the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So we know that proclaiming the gospel, this Church on Mission, is part of the commission, the job that we all have to do, which is to proclaim the word of God. And we don't have to proclaim the gospel to like remote tribes that we have not yet. I mean, other people are doing that. But for each of us individually, it means reaching out to our friends and neighbors. It means reaching out, not missing that opportunity to share God's love and to share the message of the gospel and the fact that he's the one, he is the only way. All right, I have a text coming in. This is from WK in Colorado. He writes, God's loving gift of free will to humanity holds each person eternally responsible for the consequences of their belief about the need for salvation and their eternal destiny. The final and awesome great white throne judgment will reveal the validity of their decision. I'd say choose wisely. So WK is confirming, Pastor Anthony, what we've been talking about. So getting back to the class, first of all, how long is the class? I know it's $100. It meets, do you know which day of the week it's going to be meeting?
Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard.
6:30 evening Eastern Standard, so that is 4:30 for our listeners who are listening on KHNC in Colorado. And how many weeks does the course go?
12. We'll go up till just before Thanksgiving.
Okay. And I'm going to
so
read the description.
Work you do on, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, there's work you do online. And so we do that through an online format, which makes it pretty accessible. And then we meet by Zoom for an hour and a half on Wednesday, just having class interaction and discussion to inform and sharpen one another and what we're learning.
And just to clarify, this doesn't, there's no application process. It's not like a university where you've got to apply and submit your transcripts and do all that. You can just sign up at fieldtraining.org. Tell them Catherine sent you. The Church on Mission class is described as follows. This course examines how churches operate, grow, and multiply in the harvest field. The core function of the church, meaning us, is to make disciples. Out of discipleship comes the development of the church's purpose, leadership, and mission. And, of course, you're teaching that class directly. If you go to fieldtraining.org and click on academics, you will see programs and classes, and then all the courses are listed, including the strategic leadership course that I just completed for this semester, the Church on the Mission. And we'll be talking about some of the other courses that are beginning that second week in September, so I'll let you know about the other offerings, but I definitely wanted to discuss this one. So, Pastor Anthony, in terms of the end will come, like the word, the gospel will be proclaimed to all the nations, and then the end will come. I was at, this was years ago, I was CBN, Christian Broadcasting, flew me out to, I want to say Atlanta, I don't know, wherever they're based, and the entire airport, they had bought like a whole corridor, you know, when you're grabbing your, you know, you're heading to your gate, and you're going through this big, long underground tunnels, they had bought the whole thing, and they were talking about exactly that. They had that scripture, they showed people from all over the world receiving the gospel, having the Bible translated into their languages, and that is part of their mission, is to get the gospel out to all nations. So in your understanding, I mean, I'm writing this book on the history of technology, and of course, technology has played a huge role in enabling the gospel to spread. Prior to the 1492, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue, there were people all over the world who had not heard the message of Christianity, and now there are very few people who have not. So in your estimation, your understanding, your sort of view of events that are unfolding around us now with Israel and fulfillment of prophecy and the fact that we are right on the brink of sharing the gospel and putting the Bible into every language, where do you think we stand in these words that Jesus spoke in Matthew 24, that people's love will fall away, grow cold, there'll be lawlessness, and the gospel will be proclaimed to all nations and then the end will come?
Well, I think we know that we stand at a place which confirms the Bible's accuracy. So I can say that much for sure. How close we are, as Jesus himself said, no one knows the day or the hour. And by that means, we just don't know. But he does say to look for the birth pangs, be aware of the signs which are around us. And I would see them increasing in so many ways. So many factors, you know, from just the societal struggles to the notion of how you can have increasingly centralized control through governments, through technology, which allows, you know, a personage like the Antichrist, you know, and his minions and forces to, you know, cause such level of oppression upon people. The nation of Israel, we've talked a lot about that. But the greatest thing is that the gospel is being proclaimed and spreading in ways that is more rapid than it ever has within the history of humanity. And that's really big. That's really huge. And so we see the spread of the gospel, even in a nation so oppressive and difficult as Iran. There is a massive underground movement of the church where so many people are coming to salvation. And it's really one of the fastest growing areas of Christianity. China is another case in point, and so many places in Asia, in South America, which are just having rapid growth. In fact, Christianity as a dominant force is really moving away from the West, Europe and America, though it is still in America a strong force. But it's now becoming so much bigger, especially in the global South. Africa is another case in point. And so these are encouraging signs, and I think they embolden us to be about the task which we are called to do. And quite frankly, there's no greater adventure to be a part of than loving people into a relationship with Jesus.
Amen. So we obviously, in the limited time we have in 1 hour, we couldn't get to everything. We can't get to everything. But at the same time, I just want listeners to know the really interesting way that God is working here. That at the same time, my long-term listeners know that I have been following the development of technology from the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve chose technology instead of God, or chose to have the powers of God, and that has been granted to them through technology. We now have a lot of the powers of God, sort of, but it's got a downside. So I've been writing a book on that and tracing that throughout history, but you have been simultaneously called, I think with the same degree of passion and fervor as me, to work on the other side of the story, which is God's incredible provision and the ways that he has worked throughout history to ensure that the Bible would be in our hands, and to ensure that in this day and time, when such darkness is coming upon the earth, that there would be a church, there would be this message that the church would be vibrant and alive. And that's been going on for, 2,000 years since the time of Christ. So before, and I'm looking at the clock here, you have been writing all of this up on your blog, The Story of Grace. Let me let you tell people about that so they can get your take on all of this.
Yeah. Well, I believe God has been working in the world. His power will overcome the power of the enemy. That is certain. And I've been wanting to trace the history of that, to look back so we can take encouragement in the present.
Beautiful. Now, his blog, I'm going to post it in the archives. I'll have Lori put it up in our archives. Pastor Anthony Farrell, your most recent blog entry, What Caused the Early Church to Explode in Growth Against All Odds? And it is so reassuring to see that we didn't just get this by mistake. This was planned, and God protected and nurtured us to this point so his word would reach us. All right, Pastor Anthony, thank you so much for being my guest. Listeners, thank you so much for listening. And we'll be back again tomorrow and do it all again. And Pastor Anthony will be my guest next week, talking more about this topic. All right. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you all. Bye-bye.